It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are here. They've got their review of Microsoft's annual holiday ad. I'll give you a hint. The cats are angry. We'll also talk about the new top secret cloud for government from Azure. And ray tracing for Minecraft. Yeah, honestly, it looks pretty good. It's all coming up next on Windows Weekly. Windows Weekly comes to you from Twit's LastPass Studios. Securing every access point in your company does not have to be a challenge. LastPass unifies access and authentication to make securing your employees simple and secure, even when they're working remotely. Check out LastPass.com/Twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. Episode 702, recorded Wednesday, December 9th, 2020. It's a cat-eat-dog world. This episode of Windows Weekly is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Stop letting people keep logs of what you do online and protect your online privacy with one click. For 3 extra months free with a 1-year package, go to expressvpn.com/windows. And by Melissa. Like expired milk, 30% of your customers' data goes bad every year. That's money down the drain. Visit Melissa's developer portal for free access to data quality APIs, demos, and code samples. Freshen up your sour data today with 1,000 records cleaned for free at melissa.com/twit. And by Bandwidth. Bandwidth understands the challenge enterprises face when migrating to direct routing for Microsoft Teams. That's why Bandwidth launched Duet for Microsoft Teams, the only complete solution for direct routing and Microsoft-certified E911, available direct from a carrier designed to simplify your team's migration. Request your proof of concept at bandwidth.com/WW. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news from Microsoft. Paul Thurrott is on your left. Mary Jo Foley's on your right. I'm stuck right in the middle like a sandwich. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Good to see you all. Season's greetings. Next week, Chris Cappicella, right?
He's excited. He's already tweeting about this.
Wow.
I can't believe it's already next week.
I know. Yeah. This year went by quickly.
I know.
Not quickly enough at the same time as it went quickly. It's just all a mess. My timeline's
like everything
a mess.
Terrible. It was slow when it happened and fast when it was over.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's asking for input on what he should wear on the show.
Ugly Christmas sweater. Is
or,
there one this
year? I assume
or
he's going to wear the Microsoft Paint ugly.
Festive Xbox gaming shirt is the other option.
Yeah, only if it's a onesie, though. I want to see him in a onesie that has feet.
Wow.
I think gaming coveralls are really the thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you drool while you're gaming, it's okay.
It's a different look.
That'll be a lot of fun. Microsoft CMO will join us next week. This week, we start with a cartoon. It is from a classic called Bloom County, which Berkeley breathed. He stopped doing it, right?
He stopped in 1989. He did it for 10 years, basically. I guess 9 years. And then he did a second cartoon, Outland, I think it was called.
Oh, that wasn't so good.
Mm. Wasn't so good. I agree. Although it got better over time.
Yeah.
And then in 2015, he started doing Bloom County again, I think on the web.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I'm not sure, but it's it's not, every single day, but he's been doing it. Yeah.
So this one, we're at the door with, it's Milo, right? The penguin. I can't remember the penguin's name. That's not Milo.
No, Opus.
Opus the penguin. Mm.
And Steve is the guy.
Steve opens the door. Mopus is behind him. Steve, for some reason, has a bag under his arm or something. And he goes, yeah!
Potato chips. Mm-hmm.
Oh, is it potato chips? He's been snacking. Yep. Yeah! Opus says, what can I say? It's a cat-eat-dog world. And there, out front, the cat has eaten Snoopy, apparently, because if you see, it's got a MetLife. There's a MetLife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Briefcase, and Charlie Brown's looking just in through the side of the panel. I didn't notice that at first. So that cat that's always going, ugh, on Bloom County ate Snoopy. Aw.
Bill the Cat. There were some great Bill Gates cartoons that he did.
Bill the Cat.
It might have been part of Outland by that time, but he used to make fun of Bill Gates all the time.
You remember. No, I think it was in Bloom County, too. Yeah, okay. Bill the Cat. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You really remember that whole thing, don't you?
I know.
Yeah, no, I mean, I grew up in the 80s. He was a big deal for me at the time.
I think also to open source movement, because Opus is a codec named after the penguin.
No, I don't think that really played a role.
And Bill the Cat has, I think he lives on in various ways.
Yep.
Yeah, very much part of open source. So...
So why is that cartoon there, you're wondering?
I'm wondering, what does it have to do with anything?
Oh, it has many things to do with many things.
It does. It has a lot to do with our first story, which is about Microsoft's holiday ad.
It's an affront to cat lovers. Now, we do this every year. We play it. Mm-hmm. Let me get it queued up here, because I don't remember.
Have you seen it already?
Well, I felt like I did.
It's the one that features the dogs.
It does.
Yeah, Microsoft's going to the dogs. Oh, no, I haven't seen this yet. A dog. Okay. It starts with a dog in the airplane.
It's cute enough.
Let's
worth playing.
Let's go to the tape, and I'll play this, and I don't think we'll hope that if Microsoft
takes this down, they won't care.
I can appeal to Chris Cappicella later.
You can.
That's right.
This is the full-length version. By the way, I somehow got seduced into looking at Xfinity's full-length version of their horrible commercial with Steve Carell.
I've not seen that.
Santa's lost his Christmas mojo, his spirit.
I thought you were talking about the Mario Lopez as Colonel Sanders in the new Lifetime movie.
That's a terrible thing too.
Sharknado bad or is it?
It's so bad it's good. It starts off with the Maxell guy, oddly enough. Do you think that that's a tip of the hat?
I don't think that's the Maxell guy. But
okay.
And by the way, I also think that 50% of the people watching this have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, probably. Here we go. Some guy sitting on the couch playing a video game. Dog comes up. Another needy dog
who always needs something.
He's playing Halo. And he's got that nice Microsoft controller. The dog says, all right, I'll show you. Going to the other room where mom's on Zoom. Oh, I'm sorry, Teams. On her Surface, into the living room where the kid's playing Minecraft on her Surface laptop. And then Joey, who unaccountably has a beard, is playing Flight Sim on a Surface. No, he's just playing on a Windows PC. Dog's looking out the window. Dogs are depressed. Dogs are sad. Here comes a plane.
The Panama video starts.
Now they're flying in the plane called Rufus. They're flying biplanes in a now there are dogs in Minecraft. Oh, I have seen this. There's dogs in Teams because dogs love Teams. There's Halo, Master Chief throwing a grenade, and the dogs running and leaping, and another more back to the flight sim. And he brought the grenade back to Master Chief. No! Now they're frolicking in the Minecraft pool. It's Bliss. They're rolling in the Windows XP desktop. And now they're back playing this holiday. Find your joy. See you other. So normally Microsoft on the holidays does something a little bit more
inclusive of cats.
Yeah.
Inclusive of people.
Yeah.
Could I air a few grievances about this ad?
Air some grievances. Please. Festivus is just around the
first
corner.
First of all, the most unbelievable part of it is there is a family in this world where every single one of them are doing something with a Microsoft product. Yeah. That's crazy.
It's like that house they built at CES, the one that landed in the parking lot, where everybody was on a Microsoft tablet.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. The other thing is, dogs, really? You couldn't have had a dog and a cat and just appease everyone?
Okay. Right.
But here's the thing. I grew up with dogs and cats. I now have a dog and cats. And I got to tell you, cats are way better than dogs.
Whoa. Them's fine words.
Nope. This is a fact.
Wow.
First of all, cats in that house wouldn't have given a damn that anyone was doing anything without them.
That's
Wouldn't have cared less.
That's why we love cats.
Would not have cared less. But if they wanted your attention, they wouldn't have just walked away. They would have gotten right in your lap. They don't care. Cats don't care. But here's the fact. If there was an apocalypse right now and all the humans died and the pets that we all have were set free into the world, all the dogs would be dead within days. The cats, they'd all be alive. Because cats are literally the most dangerous invasive species that has ever been introduced to the United States of America. Vets all over the United States are recommending that people never let their cats outside. Cats go outside and just kill for fun. Dogs would never make it. Cats be fun.
You've given this a lot of thought. I haven't
given it any thought. This all comes right to the front immediately. It's all obvious. Yeah. Cat and dog. That's what they should have done. A cat and a dog.
But you know what they did instead, which we don't have linked in the notes, is then they did a Master Chief promo thing. Did you see that? The Dreams thing?
Yeah.
It was some trailer for a video, right? And they have Master Chief in there, and he takes his helmet off after DJing in space for some reason, right? And
yes,
he's a cat.
He's a cat.
Like, Master Chief is a cat. That's what they showed.
Wow. Well, that's because he does have 9 lives.
Is that why?
He keeps coming back. It's like Jason.
I was like, it's got to be revenge. It's got to be revenge for that dog-centric commercial.
That's what I think we should all boycott Microsoft because of the cat thing. I
sent that note to Frank Shaw, and Frank said, we're giving everyone equal time. I guess that was reference to the cat as Master Chief. Time.
Only a dog would demand equal time. The cats don't care. Superior. They don't care. They're not impressed with your equal time. They don't care. They're going to take the time they want. The dog is going to beg for it.
Yeah.
You know this is going to come up next week with Chris, because...
Wow.
He'll ask us what we thought of the commercial, and then...
When Chris is on, because I'm so upset about this, I'm just going to turn my back to him.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding. I love Chris. I'm kidding. Plus, let's face it, Chris is probably a cat person. But anyway, there it is.
It is an interesting choice, I must say. And, you know, in the years past, they've done... They've done with disabled people, and they've tried to be more inclusive.
Yeah, there's been some real tearjerkers. This is a nice commercial. It's nice.
Pleasant.
It was cute. Actually, there were mad dog owners too, who said, I didn't like that people were neglecting the dogs in the commercial. So they didn't make anyone happy.
Oh, give me a break. Yeah.
You can't win. You cannot win. You literally can't win.
I mean, this is a story for later in the show as well, but, you know, Halo Infinite has obviously been delayed. So the fact that Halo gets such a prominent position in an ad during a holiday season, in which there is no Halo game. There's no new Halo game. The last new Halo game with Master Chief, and it came out 5 years ago.
Huh.
Just unbelievable.
But it's still, you know, it's same thing with Minecraft in a way, really. I mean, that's an older game.
Sure.
It's highlighting their greatest hits.
Yeah, that's why XP was in there, because all the greatest hits are in the past.
It's interesting. But it's, you know, that's funny. The dogs rolling in the field and blissful field.
Yeah. It was cute.
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah.
Would have been nicer with a cat, you know, in the corner somewhere.
They could have put a cat in the field.
They could have.
That would have actually been funny.
Like, he doesn't care. Cat's been here for 21 years or however long it's been since XP came out.
Yeah. Cat's saying, you can have your Halo. I don't care.
Yep.
I got bliss.
Actually, what they should have shown was when the dog got off the couch to go play his games, the cat just got up where the dog was laying so he could take the warm spot away. That's what the cats do.
Do you think they spent any time discussing this?
I'm sure they spent a lot of time discussing this in the agency.
Because there must have been some cat lovers at the agency who said,
This is what this reminds me of. So everyone loves dogs, right? Dogs are the best. You know, I'm sure that's what the conversation was. My wife worked for a company in Phoenix many years ago that did magazines for hospitals. And one of these hospitals was based out of the Dallas area. It doesn't really matter who it was. And they were coming up with a cover that was going to be sent across the country. So the woman from Dallas suggested that they put the Dallas Cowboys, on the front of the magazine.
Because they're America's team, right? Everybody
loves
them.
That's what she said. Stephanie goes, I don't think people in other parts of the country would appreciate that. And she says, what do you mean they're America's team? My wife's response was, yeah, in Dallas, they're America's team, but in everywhere else.
In San Francisco, we loathe the Cowboys.
Yeah. It's just like that level of cluelessness.
Yeah.
That's America's team.
Preferences.
Everybody loves dogs. What do you mean?
Yeah, everyone loves dogs.
No, everybody does not love dogs.
I like dogs, but I was still disappointed.
I like dogs just fine. I'm just saying cats are better. So, like I said.
And you have dogs.
Yeah.
But the beauty of your dogs is they're so subservient that they don't care that you say cats are better.
I almost don't respect my dog because of this.
Yeah.
It's like, could you have a little self-respect?
Yeah, no self-respect.
You know?
Wow.
Yeah. No, I find it very off-putting. I think that's one of the reasons people love dogs, though, because they just don't judge anything.
Well, you know what they say. Dogs have owners. Cats have staff.
Yes, that is
I was going to say. Cats have other members of the pride. And yes. It's not really sure which one's in charge.
That is very true.
Yeah.
And I'm in a cat household, and I'll absolutely vouch
you know.
For that. I know.
No, I like, by the way, just to speak, I do like dogs. I'm not trying to be a jerk about this, but I mean, I just find it a little strange that I'm not saying like there should have been a parakeet at this at or anything.
Well, that's the problem. When does it stop? Dogs, you know, pretty soon,
right.
Komodo dragons.
Where does it stop?
Exactly.
You know, goldfish. Like,
yeah, I have a pheasant that I need to fly with. It's a comfort animal. It's just don't get too close to the drink, so we'll start squawking to protect its territory.
But did you ask, did they spend time and discussions?
Debating
I'm
it.
Sure.
They focus grouped
I am
it.
Sure they did.
I bet you. Yes. They focus grouped it.
They probably did.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Everybody
they don't
dogs.
Just do these off the cuff. This is not an off the cuff decision.
Are you suggesting that Microsoft is a conservative company that doesn't take any risks? And
I'm saying telemetry played a role.
Telemetry. Oh, man. That's what that question. I got a questionnaire from OneDrive. It was like storage, that whether they should do dark mode. Do you like dogs or cats? And it was just like kind of a weird selection of questions.
Yeah.
Is that how it happened?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway. It's cute. It is cute.
It's very cute.
Wow, I can't believe we spent 15 minutes on that.
I know.
I can't believe we didn't spend 30 minutes on it, but that's okay.
You know, it's a pre-holiday week, so
it is.
You gotta go with what you got.
Microsoft's holiday 2020 ad is an affront to cat lovers and just will not stand. I love it. You guys take this all very, very seriously.
Oh, all this right. is a serious matter.
Serious.
I wasn't going to write about this. Brad pinged me and he's like, hey, you're going to write about the Microsoft ad? And I'm like, no.
Oh my God.
He's like, fine, I'll write about it. And I'm like,
oh my
okay.
God. Now, where does Brad?
Uh-oh. Oh, there it is. Oh, God.
Where does Brad come down on the dogs versus cats thing? I think we know.
He has a dog. It's one of those little manufactured animals.
Oh, a cat like, dog. Yeah, that's not good.
You know, it poops in little pellets you can clean up with a broom.
Do you know I named his dog? Do you know this story?
No.
I named Brad's dog.
What'd you name him?
Royce. Like Rolls Royce.
Royce. Because?
It's a good dog name.
He has a flying woman on his hood?
No.
His bonnet?
No.
I made the observation.
He's a luxury.
He's a luxury dog.
Yeah. That can be beaten up by a cat. He's not technically a dog.
Do you know what the breed is?
What is
yeah, it's like some chemical combined with fur.
Now, he's Lisa, a little fluffy, whitish.
Lisa keeps saying, thing. You know, Lisa said, I want a dog. And I said, great, we'll get a lab. We'll get a golden retriever. We'll get a border
collie.
She's
like, I want something that was made in a lab.
Yeah, she wants a little one because she doesn't want it to scare the cats.
Yeah.
Right.
And I said,
my dog scared the
living. I think the little dog
cats.
Is scarier.
I know. I right. do, too.
A big dog
yeah,
doesn't
kiss
like
they move around too much. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, big dogs cats. The cats can ride on
my
like
cats
a horse.
And dogs have an interesting relationship, but the cats didn't come downstairs, I'm not joking, for 4 or 5 months.
And yeah, we're trying to figure it out, how we could get...
Yeah, it was a long time.
And I don't want to get a purebred. I want to get a rescue dog, so...
Yeah.
But so that I think what we have to do is have some sort of trial period. To see how they
can foster it.
Yeah. Foster it.
Well,
exactly.
You know what, though? It's tough because, honestly, the relationship will get better over time.
Right. They're going to hate him at first no matter what.
Yep. Oh, they're going to hate him no matter what it is. Yep. They'll hate it if it was another cat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a catty
now,
dog
you get a
world.
Fish. They would be very happy about the fish.
Yeah, they would.
Get a bird. That would keep them engaged for days.
Yes, it would.
You know?
Oh, dear.
And now, guys, we're getting a request on Twitter. Please bring your cats next week's show.
Bring my cat.
You don't bring cats to anything.
Yeah, you can't. No. Cats, corral your cats and bring them onto the show.
Well, that was Colin Neal asking. And Colin, my cat is in here today because he was hurling his body against the door before the show started. Yeah, it was very loud, and I decided to let him in. So he's sitting on the bed looking over here.
Sriracha.
Yeah, he was being a little brat.
Well, my cats are on. I put a picture of my cat on Instagram sometime in the past 24 hours at least.
Yeah, you can
squawk at me.
You can always see on Insta. Yeah. Insta, as the kids call it. You can always see.
Yeah, I'm not going to call it that. But don't, yeah, I think you're right.
Let me see. I think Insta. I have. I think Lisa has actually posted some pictures of.
My God, your wife has these pictures of your cat wearing hats.
Shh.
I know.
That are amazing.
I could never get a hat on.
Don't tell the cats. Yeah,
it would not go well.
It's one of those things.
There's no way.
She says, "Okay, quick."
Yeah, very
take,
quick.
Take a picture.
Right.
Before that's your hand. Mode.
No, that's not going to work.
Destroyed.
You need to take the picture.
Yeah, take it now.
Yeah.
This is well. This, I think this cat is, yeah, this is, that's a Paris. Yep.
And, it looks like an Amelia Earhart cat.
Yeah. It's actually Paris lobbying to get in that Microsoft commercial.
Yeah.
She, that's right. Could have flown the plane.
She's got the pilots. She's not. You can tell she's kind of not mm-hmm. thrilled by this.
I'm about 2 seconds away from gouging someone's eyes.
Not loving that. Let me see. I think there's some others, though. There was a Thanksgiving. This one's not. This is another one where it really doesn't look like a cat. It looks more like cat torture than it probably is.
Yeah. Bill Carr's cats were harmed in the making of this Instagram post.
This is the other cat, though. So you get to see both. This is Samantha wearing a Christmas tree on her head. Yeah.
I guess just like, seriously.
I just want to point out.
Look at Lisa's shirt.
A dog would be loving this.
Look at Lisa's shirt. The tiger's growling. But also, I want to point out, look at Lisa's expression. She seems to be enjoying this a little bit.
Yeah, but the cat's thinking, you know what? Eventually you're going to fall asleep.
And I'm going to eat your face.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're mine, human. You are mine. Let's see. Yeah. Do we have any others? No, I think that's. There are many other hats.
Yes.
We just have. We're parsing them out over the year.
Sure. Get the cats involved in a little cosplay.
I swear to God, there's a bag of hats in the kitchen, and I guess
for cats?
Cat hats.
Based on the pictures I've seen.
Yeah, and I think that she's planning to pounce. You know, bit by bit, she just. Let's spread it out.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of nutty. Our show today brought to you by, let's take a little quick break, and then we will gear up for an actual Windows conversation. Our show today brought to you by ExpressVPN. This is something you really need to know to protect yourself. ExpressVPN is how you can protect not only the things you're doing online from bad guys and hackers, but sad to say, the things you're doing online from somebody should be protecting your privacy, your internet service provider, or your mobile carrier. ExpressVPN protects you from all that by putting all of your data inside an encrypted tunnel. Even your DNS lookups go through that encrypted tunnel so that the bad guys, the ISPs, can't see everything you're doing online. It also has some other advantages. It's very fast. Plenty of countries to go and visit, fire up the Netflix and see, oh, look, I can get all the Doctor Who I can eat on Netflix UK. You just point to your ExpressVPN to London. It's really easy to use, too. You put ExpressVPN on your phone, your tablet, your laptop, even your router. You can actually put it on the router, protect the whole house. And then it's just a click to say, you know, take me away. ExpressVPN, take me away from here. Now, one thing everybody always wants to point out, and I think it's really important to say, you are really not solving the security and privacy issue. You're just handing it off. You don't trust your ISP. You don't trust that coffee shop open Wi-Fi access point, and you shouldn't. But you've got to trust your VPN provider because everything's just going down the pipe to them and then into the outside world. So this is why I recommend ExpressVPN, and why it's the only one I use. They are audited regularly by PricewaterhouseCoopers to both verify that they live up to their privacy policy. They do. Absolutely no logging of anything you're doing. They have no record of your visit online. In fact, they took an extra step. They created something called Trusted Server, which is an in-RAM VPN server that spins up just for you. You're the only one using it. Spins up just for you when you click that button, and then when you leave, spins down. It's only in RAM, can't write to disk. So as soon as you leave, whoosh, there's no trace of your visit. And by the way, PricewaterhouseCoopers has also validated that does exactly what we say it does.
It's lightning fast, totally secure, no logging, and it protects you from all of the evils that live out there on the internet. That's why I use ExpressVPN to safeguard my personal data online. The number one rated VPN by CNET, Wired, countless others, me too. If you visit right now, there's a little special for you, expressvpn.com/windows. You can arm yourself with an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN free. ExpressVPN.com/windows. Please use that address so they know you saw it here. ExpressVPN.com/windows. Let us talk about Windows. What is the latest? Is there news?
Well, we're continuing to follow the saga of Android apps on Windows 10.
I saw somebody do a poll online saying, why do you want Android apps?
That was me.
That someone was Mary Jo.
Why exactly?
It was.
Yeah.
And,
explain yourselves.
So the answers have been very enlightening and interesting, right? Because I was sitting here trying to think of why would anybody want this? And I've had a lot of people explain why they would. So there are a number of home automation apps that do not have Windows versions and do not work well in a browser.
But why do you need to do that from Windows? Like what?
I know.
See this?
I know. I'm just going to tell you what they said. Hold on. I'm going to tell you everything they said, and then you can debunk and debate to your heart's content. Okay. So home automation came up a lot. Apps like Roomba, Ecobee, Ring. Then there were things like Venmo, which I'm like, wait, that can run in a browser. But the person who said that said, look, they're deprecating the version for the browser. Somebody even suggested Pokemon Go and said, I would like to run that on Windows. I'm like, why? So there are a lot of people who said there are apps that, there are bare bones versions of them that work in the browser, or there's nothing, or I can run them with BlueStacks and emulation, but I don't really like how that works and I don't want to do it that way.
No.
I had people also today, I had Jonathan Angel weigh in and say, by the way, I'm a Mac user and I run a lot of apps on my Mac Pro M1 iOS apps. And so that made me think, who does Microsoft always try to one up with Windows and Surface? It's Apple, right? If you can make the argument that Apple users are doing this, you could see somebody on the Windows team saying, you know what, we should do this because we have touch laptops.
But I literally said
when this was announced, I was like, the primary reason is their competitors are doing it.
Just because you can, I don't think Apple users are really doing it. It's not a great experience.
Yeah, I don't either, actually. And by the way, that experience is supposedly pretty poor.
Yeah.
You know?
There's a reason why all those apps are on your mobile and not on your desktop.
Right.
Right.
So, for example, when I moved here 3.5 years ago, whatever, we got a Google Wi-Fi system. And like a lot of Google stuff, you configure it from a mobile app. There is no web interface to it, right? Very typically with a router, you'll have like a web interface. My brother-in-law this past week bought a different system, but he also got some kind of a whole house wireless kind of a system. Mm-hmm. Same thing. It's a mobile app. That's the way it works.
Yeah.
And the reason is everyone has a phone. Not everyone, you know, you can literally reach everyone with the mobile app. However, I am of the personal opinion that all of these things, whatever these apps, the apps you mentioned that your readers mentioned, should be available on both web and mobile. Absolutely should be. The fact that you need to use a phone to use these apps or whatever, everyone has this with them at all times. You're not ever in front of the computer and can't pick up your phone to do something. In many ways, I think is better to do it that way because it lets your computer be the thing that it is innately, which is a productivity device.
Right.
You know, it doesn't get cluttered with all this additional stuff.
But you know what it also made me think is right now when we think of a Windows device, we think of something fairly big, right? Like a laptop or a desktop, right? But in the future, is that what a Windows device is?
Yeah, but in the future, I don't know. In 2002, when they came up with the first tablet PC, we were talking about this. In 2012, when Windows 8 happened, we were talking about this. Windows 10X, we're talking about this. I mean, I guess in the future, it's possible that there is some thing called Windows that is a runs on a non-PC form factor that's a mobile device or something. But I don't know. Look, obviously, everyone has different needs and wants. I think this is more want than need, but it doesn't really matter. But you're always going to be able to find people that want something like this. And then people who just don't care, you know, and then people who for some reason are violently opposed to it. And God, I don't know what's going on there, but whatever.
I guess
Windows is a place where you can run everything is not a horrible idea, I guess.
I know. There are two examples that I could come up with just sitting here like going, why? 10X is one of them, right? So Windows 10X is that simplified, stripped down version of Windows that has an UI that looks a lot more like Android that's supposed to be coming out next year, starting on a clamshell style laptop or a 2-in-1. So the reason I think it makes sense for them to be able to run Android apps is because they're going to be competing with Chromebooks, right? And so if you're just going down the list with checkbox, can you run Android apps on 10X is going to be a question for some people, right? So that's use case that I could come up with. The other one someone else suggested on Twitter is Windows on ARM, which is interesting because he said, you know, there aren't that many native ARM apps right now for Windows on ARM. So what if you could run Android apps on something like a Surface Pro X? And I'm like, maybe. I don't know.
Honestly, I really think the future of apps on any desktop platform is the web, for starters.
You know, and I thought that up until this year. And I feel like Microsoft has just completely abandoned or dropped the ball with PWAs. Like, you never hear about it anymore.
Yeah.
Ever.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know that Microsoft is the one that's going to drive this. I mean, just today, Google announced they're bringing their Google Play billing system to PWAs. And they're going to put PWAs in the store, which is something Microsoft started doing, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, whatever it was.
Do you would you classify the xCloud web version on iOS or Stadia web version? Would you classify that a PWA? I don't think it is technically. But you are, that's how Microsoft is getting xCloud on iOS.
Well, we don't know what it is. Yeah, so it's a web app at the very least. Is it technically a PWA? I guess we'll have to wait and see. I don't know.
Probably not. I don't think it is.
I've been playing Google Stadia on my computer through the web browser using a Stadia controller and an Xbox controller. And I mean, this to me, when you experience this, it's like, wow, this is actually a really impressive demo of what's possible. I wouldn't say the web is almost the smallest part of it. It's really just the cloud, right? Because all the big stuff is happening up at the back end.
That's right.
And it's just throwing a display down to you and then some kind of a controller interface.
Yeah, and the only reason you're using a browser,
the web can do that.
It's, you know, it's got WebSM and it's got a window onto the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
But then,
I don't know.
So then the other question I have is how does Microsoft do this? So I think they are looking at doing this. In fact, I kind of stupidly pinged the Project Latte team, and I'm like, you know what? Can you guys grant me access? I just tried going right through the front door as myself, and they refused. But that made me know
that cat-like approach, by the way.
But you know what? It made me know that Project Latte is a thing because the Project Latte administrator refused me. So it real thing, right? But how are they going to do it?
I don't have any doubt they're doing this.
No, but are they going to do it? Like, my other thought was, could they do this through containers or streaming? Like, you guys are talking about game streaming. What if they do it through the cloud PC approach? Could you run an Android app streamed onto Windows instead of having, because right now the tip is it's going to run through an Android subsystem, kind of like Windows subsystem for Linux, but there'll be an Android subsystem. And that's how it'll work.
I think that approach does make the most sense. The trick is, how do you interface?
Streaming or the
latter one, the WSL style?
Yeah.
You know, it'll be less technical, right? It'll be a store install probably or something. It just comes in the operating system. The question is how they're going to deliver the apps, right? What I don't personally want to say, I don't think they should do this, is have a place in their own store where some curated collection of Android apps exists. Yeah. I feel like there has to be an interface to the Google Play Store somehow, you know, that should be how it works.
So, you know, that's the other part of Windows Central's story says the rumor is Microsoft's not going to allow, Google won't allow any of these apps to go because it won't support the Play Store or any other Google Play services.
Yeah, so that's a huge technical problem right there, right?
That is, right.
That's how apps get monetized. You know, there's a billing system in there. There's advertising in there. It goes through Google probably in most cases. You know, whatever. But or you pay for the app and you have to pay Google and they get a percentage of it. I mean, but just theoretically speaking, though, I feel like the ultimate end game here is they'll do it somehow, right? If you have your phone today and you have a compatible phone, you can run an app or more than one apps from your phone onto your computer. It's kind of a remote view or whatever. It works sort of, you know,
badly.
It works badly. But I mean, however they do it, when it's all said and done, all this work, everyone, I feel like we're always looking for that next thing that's going to put this thing over the top, you know, like. Yeah. Windows is screwed, but if we could just get Android apps, you know, like that would, you know, that would be it, you know, and it's like, maybe, I mean, I don't know.
What my biggest takeaway was after reading through people's responses and kind of tabulating them was if Microsoft does end up doing this and making it available late next year, which is also the part of the tip, I think it shows that this is part of their whole strategy to still try to be appealing to consumers and to try to get more consumers, right? It's not, this isn't a business play. Some people have advocated it's a developer play. I'm not even sure I buy that. But I think it's an attempt for them to try to get consumers because if you look at the apps people keep citing, you know, TikTok, Snapchat, blah, blah, blah.
Do you think it's really about getting consumers or just keeping consumers from leaving? You know,
I don't think they have consumers. I think. Well, Microsoft has very few
use Windows. I mean, I know. I agree.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like they see consumers as this big mass of people, and they have a tiny sliver of that market. And enterprises, they have a big chunk of that market.
I'm just trying to imagine how you would communicate to consumers that you can run Android apps on Windows, and that would in any way excite anyone.
Right.
Normal. Is it possible that it really is just for business and not for consumers? That it's really...
I don't think so.
Because business might have some line of business apps that they develop that they...
I actually think it's based on what Mary Jo said earlier, and I broaden it to include Chrome OS, but basically Chrome OS and Mac OS now both run apps from the two most mobile, popular mobile platforms. Yeah. And Windows is alone in not doing that.
It's a checkbox, not something.
It is literally. That's exactly how I describe it.
But it's a checkbox. Exactly.
Yeah, I think so.
And I think that's it. Like they'll do it. Doesn't matter how they do it. We can sort of debate that and talk about it. But they'll do it, and then they'll just move on to the next thing, like they always do. And I just don't.
In the case of both Mac and Chrome OS, it's not a great experience, to be honest.
Yeah.
So speaking of it, so I'm testing a Chromebook right now. So of course now I'm on Chromebook mailing list. I just got this email yesterday. I was kind of interested to see how they describe this. Literally, they're promoting Microsoft apps. This is an email from Google. Hmm. It says, "Stay productive in your Chromebook. Chromebooks work with Microsoft Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. Simply get the apps from Google Play or use them on the web." And that's an interesting way to put something that I've described as a huge problem with the Chromebook, which is that there are two versions of each of these apps. And how do you, and they have conflicting or different sets of abilities. You know, one app does some things, the other app does the other things. Mm-hmm. Neither one of them is a true superset of the other. So to me, that's a little bit of confusion. Like which one would you use? And I don't think the Android apps honestly adapt very well to running on the desktop, frankly, but whatever they do, I mean, they work.
Some do.
Now we have two versions of the apps to try, I guess. You know, it's like,
I know.
I don't know. I think
no, that's confusing. That's going to be confusing to normal people, right? Like, so say you've got somehow either through Office 365, Microsoft 365, you've got Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, right? And then suddenly you see on the web, oh, wait, there's another way to get Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. And then you've got the Android versions of Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, right?
Yeah, now
and
we're going to add a third one to Windows, right? Like,
Well, those are touch first, though, in a way that the desktop ones are not. I mean, they are slightly different, right?
I guess, for sure. And but they're also simplified because they do run on mobile devices. And the idea there is that someone accessing a Word document or PowerPoint presentation, whatever, on a mobile device doesn't necessarily need or even have the ability on that form factor to do some of the more advanced stuff. Right. So they're kind of dumbed down for that, you know, reading and light editing and things like that. But, you know, talk about businesses. You know, one of the things that's kind of non-obvious is you have like a help support call and someone says, hey, I'm using Microsoft Word and I can't find, it doesn't do this thing, whatever it is, it doesn't do grammar checking or something, I'll make up. And the guy will say, well, just go to here, to here, to here, and this is where it is. And he's like, I don't see that. It's like, well, you're running Microsoft Word, right? Yeah. Yeah. And it's not there. Well, it's not there. And then you kind of go back and forth. And after a while, you realize he's not running the version of Word you think he's running. He's running the mobile version or the web version or, you know, whatever. Who knows?
Yeah.
These things, this to me is just a, I don't know. It seems like an unnecessary complexity.
I'm curious how they're going to try to clean that story up, because I also think right now when you're trying to tell somebody, like a normal person, about office.com, and you're like, so what is that? Right? Because
I'm Cortana, and I'm here to help. Hold on. Cortana would like to help.
I didn't even say it. She Cortana. Wants to help anyway.
I want to help.
Oh, Cortana.
Is that your Harman Kardon or is that a computer?
No, I'm reset a computer and it just came up again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Sorry, like you were saying I couldn't hear you over a Cortana.
I know you couldn't. No one could hear anything over that.
Hello? Are you trying to set up a computer?
Is the house on fire? Oh, no, the computer.
It scares me every single time when that happens.
I hate it so much. I hate it so much. Yeah.
I never remember that it's going to happen, and then suddenly every it's like, boom.
Boom.
No, I'm saying when you go to... Yeah, so like on my phone right now, on my Android phone, I use office.com a lot, which is the collection
now,
of Word
when you say office.com, I sorry to interrupt, but do you mean like you literally go to the web and use it, or do you use the little office app?
Then? No, sorry. The Office mobile. What do they call it?
Yeah,
they
don't even Office. Call it. The Office app.
Office. Yeah. The Office app, right? Yep. Which it's not Word, Excel, or PowerPoint as we know it. It's a separate app that has those things combined and does a set of things like sign a document
electronically. That's pretty good for a phone, right?
It's perfect for the phone. But then when you're trying to explain that to somebody and they're like, oh, do you mean Office on the web? No. Do you mean Word for Android? No.
The individual. They have individual apps as well.
I'm just like, I don't even know how to explain to you what this is.
The Office app to me works pretty well. We already have a little bit of this complexity on Windows that I was worried about for this Android future in the Office app for Windows 10, where I believe even if you have the Office applications installed, the actual native Win32 apps.
Yeah.
And you click on a document in the Office app, it will load the web app for Word or Excel or PowerPoint, not the thing you have on your computer. Right. Why would anyone want that?
I know.
It's crazy. But
lately, I've been having the problem of how do I get to this document? Because I put it in OneDrive, right? And I'm like, should I go through the web to get it? Because that seems like the easier way. Or can I call it up through my computer, through Word, and try to pull it up that way? And it's like...
I will say...
How much time I spend doing that weekly?
Oh, it seems like this would work well for you because we've talked about this in the past. I have kind of anal retentive filing system I use.
You do.
And it's,
I do.
It's crazy, but it works for me, whatever. But you know, you're a little more laissez-faire.
Disorganized.
about this stuff.
Disorganized. I am.
Yeah. But it seems like the Office app or office.com would be a good thing for you because the primary interface is your most recent documents and you don't really care where they are. I mean, you just, as long as they're there,
I'm more and more.
It seems like that would work for a lot of people.
I'm using that as the way I get to my documents because I'm like, okay, there's the one I used yesterday. It's right here.
See, where I would have a hard time adapting to that because I have a very specific filing system. And when I'm done with something, I often use like a scratch space for things I'm working on. Mm-hmm. I want to then put it somewhere very explicit. Yep. And that's a little ponderous to do in the like the web interface for OneDrive or whatever.
Yeah,
you can do it. I mean, it's just not, but it's just not great.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I think they have a lot of challenges and things they need to solve before they start bringing Android apps to the Microsoft Store and letting people use them on Windows. There's a lot of
the first one is Office app. Right?
I know they've got to figure out how to make it easier for people to figure it out.
You shouldn't have to figure it out. If you have the apps on your computer, it should always use those apps. Always.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, the first time it should come up and say, hey, on a mobile, you open a document on your phone and it says, hey, do you want to open this in Edge and Chrome and whatever? And you're like, I want to use Edge. And do you want to use it all the time or do you want to use it just this time? Yep. You're like, this is a smart interface. If you are, if you specifically want to use, you know, the web app or the native app in the case of Word or whatever, choose it. It should just do that every time.
Yeah.
That's just obvious.
That's a good way to go. Yeah. Or if you're using Windows 10X, this is supposedly less of an issue because then you have your UI looks right. like the launcher, right? And so that lists your most recent documents in a way you can just see them. There they are. Right?
Well, and to bring the Android app into the picture, it's possible in Windows 10X you would want to use the Android version of Word or the Office app or whatever, you know.
Anyway, I think they got a lot of things to chew on before they just throw this out there and just make it part another thing you can do in Windows, right?
Well, somebody in the chat room has a thought. Nero says, what if it's just a way to give developers a new way to write apps for Windows, leveraging their existing knowledge of Java or Kotlin? No.
It's not that. They tried this 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah. That was one of the bridges.
Yeah.
This is literally about end users being able to run the apps, the actual apps, the Android apps.
Right.
Yeah. I had one guy say, if this lets me never have to run the Android emulator again... I would be very happy.
Is just awful.
But that's not a normal user thing to do.
I know this
has to work for people, and that's what makes it really strange. Because the only way this will actually work for everybody is if it runs all Android apps, right? Because everyone, like the people you polled, they all have this special thing. I need to use Philips Hue for some reason on my computer. I need to use whatever it is, Instagram. I need to use whatever. Everyone has the one thing that they need or three things, whatever it is. And those one to three things are always different for every single person. So you can't come out with a curated list of like, well, we chose the top 1,000 most popular Android apps. They tried that with Windows Phone. Right. Where's Windows Phone again? It's gone.
Yeah.
So that doesn't work. You have to literally be... It's why Windows 10 on ARM doesn't make any sense right now.
Yeah.
It's like it runs most apps. Yeah. Okay. But,
except the one I need, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is the problem, right?
Yeah, I know.
Well, hey, get ready because Lightroom's coming to Windows on ARM.
Speaking of, I don't know if it was 1 or 2 weeks ago, but Adobe announced that they had brought Photoshop to Windows 10 on ARM and the ARM-based Mac, M1-based Macs. Interesting that it took Apple to release the M1 Max for this to happen, but whatever, we'll take it. Yeah. Photoshop on the new Macs and on Windows 10 on ARM is not what we would call full featured, but it's going to get there, I guess. There's a nice big list of things that aren't there. Mm-hmm.
And now there's Lightroom.
I have to say, I don't think this is...
I think you get the Windows on ARM for free because they're really doing it for the Mac. They're not doing it.
Exactly. And that's what I mean. Like, look, we'll take it. Yes, you know?
I know.
I have to say, I'm not... I'm so done with Adobe.
I am too. And
Lightroom on ARM on M1 is no faster than it was on Intel, and it's not because the Intel chip is faster or anything. It's because it's crap software written in Lua, and it's been foisted on us for so many years. And
I can't speak to Lightroom, but I have a lot of experience with Photoshop.
Photoshop's a better piece of software, but it's a Frankenstein.
It has extensions, and they're written by different people in different companies in different technologies.
Adobe's terrible. Let's just face it.
Yeah.
They're terrible.
I switched to Affinity Photo, I guess it's called.
Much better.
I wish there was an Affinity video editor. I would buy that today. You know.
Well, stay tuned. So I honestly think that... it's sad because people are going to get a misimpression of, I guess, Windows on ARM, but certainly the M1 based on this.
Oh, no, they have the right impression of Windows
software.
On ARM.
Well, I can't imagine. Yeah. If it doesn't run faster on Apple's M1, it must be awful on Windows on ARM. So just stop the insanity. Yeah. Let's put Adobe out of its misery.
Okay, but I will say this is kind of like the conversation we had about Windows 10X when we first found out about it. They were going to have a Win32 container. And at the end of the day, if it runs and it's a little slow, it's better than it not working.
Oh, absolutely.
And maybe it will get better over time. I mean, I will say in the case of the M1 Max and the future M, whatever they call them, M Series Max, that's going to be the whole platform. So Adobe's going to have to make sure that stuff works correctly on that platform for sure.
Yeah.
Right. The other thing we're waiting for with Windows on ARM, well, we're waiting for many things, but the X64 emulation for X64 apps. I keep hearing that's very close. Like maybe even this week that could finally be available to insiders.
This week, wow.
Yeah. Okay. And this is something Microsoft hinted about back in September. Like it's coming. And this is, as we remarked back then, at one point they said this was impossible to do.
Yeah.
Run
they did.
X64 apps in emulation on Windows on ARM. But I feel like if they get this to work, at least it shows there's a little progress happening with Windows on ARM, because everybody is pinging me saying, okay, now that Apple's done this, like, is Microsoft getting more serious about Windows on ARM? And I'm like, you know, they haven't really talked about Windows on ARM.
More serious is kind of a tough way to put it. I mean, I think they've been as serious as they can be about it. I think people need to understand the differences in how important this is to Microsoft versus Apple, because of the different ways they're going about doing things.
Yeah.
But they've been trying to do stuff with ARM on Windows since what, 2010, 11, whenever
Five
that was
years.
When they first showed it off. Yeah. Well, I mean, before, remember they did for Windows 8 as well.
Yeah.
This has been a dream for a while. And this version now that we have is more successful than Windows RT for sure.
Yeah.
But that's
a low bar.
I know. Well, it's a tough thing. And I people ask me these questions.
I know.
You know, my wife or sister or brother or somebody only uses these three apps. Do you think a Surface Pro X would be okay? And it's like, I am never going to say that's okay.
Too bad, because it's a very
You don't
cute
give a computer like that to a normal person.
It's too bad.
You can't. You just be supporting them forever. And that's what it needs. It needs to get over that hump, you know.
It does.
It could. Yeah. It absolutely could. But man, if they really, in the shortest distance is a straight line. Microsoft's been doing like slowly concentric circles, they'll get there, you know.
I don't even know who's in charge of Windows on ARM at Microsoft anymore. Like who is champion of that? I don't know.
Yep.
You just never hear them talk about it much. I mean, every once in a while, a little advance, something comes out.
Well, it doesn't help that this past year, you know, Qualcomm came out with an 8CX2 or whatever they called it, and Microsoft made an SQ2 or whatever they call that. And these things are like single-digit percentage faster than the predecessor. They're not a big deal. Qualcomm had their big event. No mention of Windows 10 on ARM, which is actually unusual. They had mentioned it in previous years. So what's going on? And I saw an interview with, I don't know if it's the CTO or somebody from Qualcomm. And it's what you expect to hear from these kind of people. It's like, you know, Apple has proven what we've known all along that, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, but Apple kind of succeeded in a way that you haven't, you know, as well. I don't know. I'd like to see it work. I mean, they're you know.
I know.
For sure. But I mean, it has to me, it's like a flow chart. The first question in the flow chart, the first time it divides, it says, does it run? And then insert your favorite app. And if the answer is no, you're done. You exit the flow chart. You just, I can't do this. People are like, but battery life and but connectivity and but instant on. It's like, no, none of that matters. If it can't run the thing that I need, we don't even talk about that stuff.
Plus, the battery life isn't even there still yet for Windows on ARM.
Yeah, it's not on the Microsoft device. No. That's true. Yeah.
So why are you even torturing yourself using it at this point? I don't know.
Well, tech enthusiasts, I mean,
I know.
Do. Yeah. It's all about punching yourself in the face for an ideal.
Story of Paul Thurrott's life.
It is. Well, yeah, I was driving down the road one day, and there's all these guys in front of like a comic book store, and all dressed up with Star Wars characters, and I'm like, nerds, you know. As I went by, and I'm like, I love Star Wars. it's kind of a weird existence.
Love hate thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we got a couple more things to talk about. Back of the book. Mm-hmm. Let me get one more ad in here before we move on to. Microsoft 365, the cloud, the Xbox, of course, in the tips of the week, the back of the book. All coming up with Paul and Mary Jo. Is this our second to last show before the holidays?
Let's see.
Next week is the 16th. 23rd is our best of.
Could we do this year again? I had so much fun.
Oh, yeah. It was so great. Stay tuned.
Oh, wait, the 23rd is the best of? That's good to know.
Remember February.
Yeah. We're doing the best of early. So much hope. Because, well, Christmas is in the middle of the week. So
right.
We're doing the best of on the 23rd. That means we'll be doing a show on the 30th.
Ooh.
Jeez.
Oof. I'm just like, what are we? You know what? We can talk about our predictions for the new year.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay. You know, a look back at 2020, and then a look forward to 2021. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
that kind of thing. I think that's the schedule. Yeah, Jason, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's the schedule because... Or is it,
hey, guys.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yes. Just real quick. The FTC
and
46 states have sued Facebook, and they want to take away Instagram and WhatsApp.
Yeah, they want to split it off. It's the FTC and 46 states plus D.C. and Guam. And I've been reading the pleading while you guys have been talking.
Oh, okay. Wow. I just saw this. That's
Fascination
crazy.
City. Oh, my God.
If only you had a good digital device to read this on, Leo.
This is kind of cool. This is that remarkable, too, I was talking about. Well, the idea is looking. Well, we'll see. I don't know. I want to annotate it. I want to underline because it's interesting. I mean... It actually accuses them of a lot of things. For instance, as set forth in the detail below, this is only on the sixth page. Facebook illegally maintains that monopoly power by deploying a buy or bury strategy that thwarts competition and both harms users and advertisers. So they're going hard. They're going hard.
They are.
Yeah. Facebook's illegal course of conduct has been driven in part by fear that the company has fallen behind in important new segments and emerging firms are building networks that were competitive with Facebook and could be, and they're quoting here, I think, emails, very disruptive to the company's dominance. As Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg observed, one thing about startups is you can often acquire them.
Thank you for the profound insight.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's the smoking gun, though, because they've got these emails where he's saying,
"No, it's true.
We can build a competitive moat. We can neutralize a competitor.
Or we can cut off their air supply.
Cut off their air supply. Where have we heard that phrase, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Who talks like that?
Yeah. It's interesting. Anyway, I will be, I'm paying attention, but I'm trying to scan that because we'll probably talk about that on Twig.
Yeah, it's cool.
In detail. Yeah. So I'm trying to get a little head start on
jump
this
on it.
Yeah. Breaking news.
Wow.
Breaking news. Yeah, no kidding. Our show today brought to you by Melissa. Here's some breaking news. 30% of your customer data, your address lists, your customer contact information, your supply, you know, all the lists that you keep of your customers and suppliers and people you work with, 30% of that's going bad every year. Like bad milk. You don't want to put that on your cornflakes. Melissa can help you update your customer data so that you always have fresh, accurate, current data. They've been doing this for 35 years. I think it goes back to the Zip plus 4 days. But over time, they've added to the databases they cover. They really have added an API and all sorts of really nice ways to make it easy for you to get correct information, whether it's a customer that's been in your mailing list for years or a new customer who's maybe misentered something. They can correct that, or your customer service rep, and they can add public information to the record as well. It's really pretty impressive. Melissa's global address verification service verifies addresses for more than 240 countries and territories at the point of entry as you're typing it in, making sure that only valid billing and shipping addresses are captured and used in your systems. They can add things like property and mortgage data, marital status, social media handles, things that are in the public record, but they've got those in the database. And you can do it in any way that makes sense to you. They're very flexible. Deploy it on-prem as a web service, software as a service, secure FTP processing. They have an API. Melissa continually undergoes independent security audits, too. They know this is precious data, both to you and to your customer, and they are committed to data security, privacy, and, of course, to be fully compliant, because you need to be. They have the utmost dedication to your data security by implementing strong controls and safeguards. They're SOC2, HIPAA, and GDPR compliant. Over 10,000 businesses
Trust the address experts at Melissa. With the holiday season right around the corner, it's time to take control of your customer data. Trust Melissa to be your foundation for data-driven success, which reminds me, we're getting our Christmas card list ready. I'm gonna take advantage of this. Melissa is supporting communities and qualifying essential workers right now during COVID-19. Your organization could qualify for 6 months of free service. Apply online, melissa.com/twit. Don't put up with sour customer data. Try Melissa's APIs in the developer portal. So easy to log on, sign up, and start playing in the sandbox anytime. Get started today with 1,000 records cleaned for free. Melissa.com/twit, M-E-L-I-S-S-A, Melissa.com/twit. Clean up your sour customer data. Freshen it up with Melissa. Let's move along to Microsoft 365. In light of the Slack acquisition by Salesforce, is it clear sailing? Is Teams just going to rise to the top like cream? Or
Microsoft is running scared, Leo.
They might be. Salesforce has a big sales team. One of the advantages Microsoft had is the bundling, the Salesforce, lowercase s. Salesforce brings that to Slack. I don't know.
I don't think they're afraid.
I don't think so either.
But but you know what? In kind of thinking about this over the past week, I think one area where they will be more afraid and probably more proactive now is integrating Dynamics 365 CRM with Teams. Like, they've started doing that, but I could see them getting way more aggressive and bringing those two things together, because that's what Salesforce is going to do with their CRM and Slack, right? So there may be some more integrations happening on that front, I bet.
I just hope they announce some more new Teams features, because it's been
So this week, what they did announce, and at first I was thinking, is this going to help people negotiate all the millions of new Teams features that come out every week? No, I don't think this is going to help, but maybe it'll help a little. They're adding a new testing channel to Teams, the public preview channel. So now, after this announcement, there are three insider channels for Teams, and two of them are NDA channels covered under non-disclosure. The beta channel and the private preview channel are for people who are in the Microsoft TAP program, their technology adoption program, who have signed NDAs, who can see features that are coming in Teams down the pike. Public preview is more for people who want to kick the tires of Teams features before they get rolled out to their entire organization. You know, make sure that everything works okay and that it's going to be well accepted and integrated in their companies. And anybody can be in the public preview channel. You don't have to sign an NDA. Will this help companies trying to figure out all these Teams features? Maybe it'll help a little, because you'll have somewhat of a heads up of the next wave of stuff that they announce each week. I don't know. We'll see. We've talked about this on the show. Every week, I think on Sunday night or Monday, I get this email because I'm the admin on my Teams account of all the things that are coming, right? Like, to Office 365 and Teams every week. And there's just so many things. It's unbelievable. So
we are
going to
get a small breather, right?
Are we?
We are approaching the middle of December.
Yeah.
We all know that Microsoft disappears for the final two weeks of the year.
Yeah.
So
okay.
You should have at least a few weeks off.
Yeah. Every week, though, I'm just, I look at this list when it comes in, and I'm just like, oh, man.
We talked about this last week, but whatever that announcement was, the post about the new calling features.
Yeah.
117 different features in this thing.
My God.
I know.
Yeah. It's crazy.
So it's like that every week?
It's not just Teams. It's Microsoft 365 all up, so you see new features for Outlook and SharePoint and everything else. But it's a lot of things. Like, and if you're the admin for something and you see every week, like, it's not little trivial things. It's not always just like we're moving Yammer to a new little spot on your desktop. It's not that. It's more like, hey, we're going to deprecate this, or we're going to add this feature. We're going to roll this out to everyone commercially in the next month. I mean, they're big things, and they're always changing too.
This is going to sound like I'm joking, but I wonder why they don't just add an email component to Teams and get rid of Outlook. I mean, it seems like it could just replace Outlook at this point.
Well, and then fold Skype into it. Fold everything. Everything should be Teams now.
It's the everything box.
Well, Teams, every time you hear an executive from Microsoft talk about Teams, they say Teams is how we foresee people interacting with all our productivity apps in the future. And they even call it an OS a lot of times. Like Teams is like an operating system, or sometimes they even say Teams is an operating system. I've heard people say that.
It's definitely a platform. I mean, and we could kind of just semantic it at this point. But I mean, at some point, maybe it's already there. I mean, it could host, you know, Word and Excel and PowerPoint. Yeah. And I mean,
it has its own app store, like we talked about. Yeah. I mean, it integrates with Power Platform. It's a developer platform now because they're integrating all these developer pieces in. You know, the part I want to hear more about, and I bet we'll hear more about this next year, is the thing, like if you have Teams as a layer and a platform, there's another platform that's underneath that that's bigger called Meta OS. Like we've talked about that on the show a couple of times. I want to hear more about that. That's where like the graph and the substrate and all the developer components like Fluid Framework and all these pieces are in there. And then Teams sits on top of that. So when I think of operating system futures, I think more as a Meta OS itself as being the base OS type platform. Mm-hmm. And Teams is like a layer above that. But yeah, I would love to hear more about that.
Teams Weekly has a weak ring to it.
Right. Allabouttteams.com. Has someone got that domain? I bet they do.
Or you change the day of the podcast, like Tuesday or Thursday, then it could be like Teams Tuesday.
Right. And we could just spend the entire show going through every new Teams feature in our inbox that week.
And then I probably wouldn't do physical harm to myself. That would be fine. It sounds like fun.
Yeah, sounds like a lot of fun. Anyway, so if you're somebody who's into testing and you want to be an insider for yet another Microsoft product, you might want to check out that new Teams public preview channel.
Is this open? This is for businesses though, right? It's not individuals?
It doesn't seem to be oriented to consumers. It seems more of a business kind of thing.
Yeah, okay.
But I wonder if they will add an equivalent channel for people who want to be, you know, tech enthusiasts who want to check out Teams features that are being added to the consumer side. I don't know.
Yeah, I know in the Microsoft 365 admin console, you have the opportunity to opt into insider builds of things and so forth.
Yeah.
Maybe it's part of that.
I guess I have never played with Teams. I'm going to have to sit down and
I think you should try it. Just see.
I mean, it gets a lot of grief for being kind of big and heavy and whatever. And okay, I mean, it is. But honestly, the sheer number of things that it does is still astonishing to me. And it's just getting bigger and bigger as we go.
I think, you know, I have several things. If I had a Teams wish list, there'd be a few things on it. But one of the big ones would be fix the user interface, because I still feel like for most normal people, this is not easy to figure out how it works.
Yeah, it's especially difficult if you're coming from Skype.
Slack.
I think if you're coming from any other kind of thing. It's probably it could be the same problem because you have certain assumptions about where things are and or where they should be or whatever, and they're not always true. But I also think there's a real emphasis on bigger teams, meaning bigger companies full of multiple teams. And for small companies like mine or a company one like yours or whatever, a lot of this stuff, this organization is just unnecessary extra UI.
So it is a little heavyweight.
It is.
Yeah. But it's because it does so much.
Yeah.
I always joke that when you look at a lot of Microsoft products, maybe even most, Microsoft builds products for Microsoft, right? They're a giant organization, and that's how they think when they build products, I feel like.
I get that sense. It's all their stuff is enterprise-focused, large business.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get that sense. Yep. Yeah. You know what Teams needs? More cats.
Disrespectful. Teams now with more cats.
A dog would never sit on your computer like that, but a cat's like,
cat. It's warm.
It's a little warm. I like it. It's
nice on my butt. That is the view of Mary Jo's podcasting setup from the other side.
It is.
Yeah. That's actually pretty nice.
It's yep, bigger nice than I imagined
tight
it.
And small.
It's bigger than you remembered it.
Is That's it really? So see where the back of my chair is in that picture?
Yeah.
That's like where my bookcase is that you see behind me. So,
right.
Yeah. That's my entire office space is about.
I think we have the same chair. Is that like an Aaron chair?
Yeah, nice chair. It is.
Yeah.
I bought it like more than 10 years ago. I still have it.
Oh, no, me too. My, mine dates back to
not broken yet is a high praise. Office
I know,
chairs
right?
that break so quickly.
Oh, no, I think mine's 20 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. I've moved it at least twice, too, in big moves. So.
It's worth getting an expensive chair, it sounds
it
like.
It is. Yeah. It really is.
I have a steel case that's already broken.
Really?
Well, and it's not. It's maybe 6 years old, but the hydraulics don't work anymore. Every time I sit in it, I'm way down here.
It's like,
oh, really?
makes a deflating sound.
And then it slowly over time sits back down again.
That's not good.
Maybe I should just buy an Aeron. So both of you, those are real Aeron chairs.
Oh, yeah.
I paid like $1,000.
Yeah, they're pretty one out of business. I mean, the steel case was $500 or $600, I think. It was expensive, but I shouldn't have.
We use our chairs so much.
The year I got this, it was a Christmas present. So when I came down in the morning, it was
that's
a giant
nice
chair-shaped present.
She wrapped it?
Like wrapped to the...
She wrapped it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So nice. My chair is about $150.
Right.
It does break. It has occasionally. But it doesn't have any moving parts. All I have to do is
good
pump
your,
it up with air every
quads?
Once in a while.
No, your glutes.
I don't know
what's good for.
It's not good for anything. It's terrible.
It's good for something. It's good
sitting
for your
is
core,
just bad for you. You know, it's supposed to
I
be
know.
For your
it's
core.
Terrible for you.
But sitting is the
sitting
worst.
Sitting in a chair, it's so bad for you.
You know, and I work with a trainer now 4 days a week.
Hmm. Yeah.
Most of the time we spend is on my hips because it's like you're
my hips are so screwed.
Everything's tight. And I have to, I can't do anything till we loosen up those, I can't remember what they call it.
I have shoulder and knee problems from basketball, and I have hip problems from sitting.
So much sitting.
Hip flexors, right?
Hip flexors.
Hip flexors.
And my...
I need that Suzanne Summers
your
thing.
Your psoas.
Psoas, that's right. That's what I was trying to think of.
Your psoas muscle.
OAS. How do you know all that? You're
yoga.
Exactly. Yoga, that's right. You do a lot of stretching in yoga for your hip flexors and your psoas and... Your ipsididdle and your upadibid hobbitahan.
Exactly.
Yeah, that can be bad.
Pigeon really pose.
Bad. Pigeon. Yeah, I love pigeon. Pigeon I'm good at because I'm a guy. I think
hard.
Pigeon's easier for guys than it is for women. That's where
that's
you put
brutal.
Your... I could do the pigeon all day.
Yeah.
That's where you put your...
Uh-oh, he's going to demo a pigeon
is,
pose.
I think I'm going to get a demonstration.
Yeah, I'm going to pigeon it right now.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Look at him. He's doing it.
Pigeon's easy.
That's it.
I can pigeon
and then you
day.
Have to lay on the floor and like lay forward.
Lie on
your
it. Yeah, you're going to lie on your pigeon.
Oh, brutal.
Well, if I did that, I would just pass out.
It's hard. It looks so easy, but then when you do it, you're like,
actually, to me, it feels really good.
It does feel good. But then getting out of it, you're like,
it's hard to get out.
Walk again.
Yeah, I read this week, all you need to do is 11 minutes of strenuous exercise a day to overcome all the sitting.
I saw that.
Is that true?
I wish it were true because
it's true today. Nice. I mean, and also oat bran is the secret food you need to be eating all the time.
Okay. Yeah.
Herman
fat
Miller.
Foods, eat as many cookies as you want. It's fine.
Aeron. Yeah. Is the Aeron chair worth it? It's a long-term investment. I think that's the point is it lasts forever. I'm going to send Lisa a link and say, I want an Aeron for Christmas.
Okay, first of all, don't you dare mention anyone's names when you send her this link.
I know.
Don't
get us involved here.
Well, she sent me a link for jewelry. I can send her a link for an Aeron chair.
Okay, yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, you don't buy like the Aeron knockoff chair.
Get the real deal.
It's tempting, but don't do it.
No, I regret buying a steel case because... even though everybody said, this is a really good chair, it's half the price of the Aeron.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. Lisa says, I'm listening and I already bought your gift.
Oh.
You ain't getting no chair, buddy.
Oh, boy.
Never mind.
Tell that the right guy. Get out of your ear.
You know what? Father's Day is just around the corner.
Yeah.
So Microsoft did get the Jedi contract, right? All of that noise from Amazon just disappeared.
Amazon says they're going to dispute it again and challenge it. Yeah, they said they're going to challenge it again. But yeah, so far Microsoft does still have it. And yeah.
And Lisa says, I would never blame you guys. I love Paul and Mary Jo.
Aww.
Aw, she does.
We love
She's
you.
Sincere. Yeah. So they have, it seems like, a government top secret cloud.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. I read about that on that ZDNet blog by that Mary Jo and Foley Snopes. Person. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, that's how I found the picture of your cat on your desk.
Oh, yeah. So Microsoft has a lot of different versions of their cloud for government customers, U.S. government customers. They already have a thing called Azure Government. They have an Azure Government Secret that's like one level up from that in terms of security requirements. And now they have Azure Government Top Secret.
Top Secret.
As the name implies, is all the way about handling top secret classified data in the cloud.
That's kind of cool.
It's kind of cool. A lot of people are like, look at, you've just given hackers a new target. I'm like, yeah, but you can bet Microsoft's really locked this thing down and has a lot of ways of trying to keep this secure. I think people are asking me, did they design this for Jedi? I believe this could have been a requirement of the Jedi contract or something they do plan to include in the Jedi cloud infrastructure when they roll that out.
Yeah, because Jedi was for the Defense Department. I would imagine right. There'd be a lot of top secret classified documents.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, this is. I look back at my notes. I'm like, they've been talking about doing something in the top secret and highest level of certification for a government cloud for years, years.
It is a little weird to announce it.
I know it is. Well, the reason they announced it this week is they had a meeting virtually called the Government Leaders Summit, which they have every year where they invite people from governments all over the world to come and hear about all kinds of things.
It's not just for America. It's for everyone.
Right. Well, so far, I believe the Azure Government Top Secret Cloud is U.S. government only.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if they'll do a version of this for other governments or not, but yeah.
Wow. Somebody says it's not for Jedi, it's for the Sith.
Nice.
Paul got it. Yep. Mary Jo went, huh?
I'm like, Sith?
Never mind. Don't worry
That's
about
great.
It.
Yeah.
It went right over my head, right into the cloud.
Frosty Winnipeg. Good one, Frosty Winnipeg.
Right into the cloud.
Into the cloud. All right, so there we have it. It exists.
Yep. And then just a quick mention. Microsoft said earlier this year they're going to be making some major, major investments in cloud in terms of expanding their footprint. And they have been on a tear announcing new data center regions. This week alone, they announced two more. Denmark and Chile are both going to get Microsoft data centers for Azure, Microsoft 365, and Dynamics. We don't have the dates on that yet, but they have just been like announcing the heck out of new data center regions in this past year.
It's worth comparing this to what Amazon has done, because my understanding is Microsoft has long had a big advantage in this one area where they have so many different regions.
So this is a very complicated and political topic, because the way Microsoft and Amazon define what is a region and what is a data center region is different. So Microsoft always says we have more data center regions than any other cloud provider, but Amazon, when they call something a data center region, I believe they have to have the region itself and a backup as part of it to qualify as a region. And Microsoft doesn't have that stipulation. So that's why Microsoft has more, because their requirements are less.
They'll do the backups later. It'll be fine. Why? You need to be like that. Okay.
Anyway, but Microsoft has really been investing crazily in building out more regions, more data centers. Comes you know who. He's
dun,
coming.
Dun, nice. Dun. Dun, dun, dun.
You know what? He knows it's the part of the show where he can just come into the focus, and here he is.
It's the tail of, not just the tail, the giant head of Sirachi.
Yeah, let's see how destructive he is.
He's gotten older, he's become a little less demanding, right? No?
That's not how cats work.
I guess I don't understand these things.
Now he's laying right on top of the keyboard.
It's all right.
Hey, buddy.
It's all right. You don't need that.
I don't need to type right now.
You know why? Because it's time for Xbox, unless you have anything else to say about
Nope.
The secret cloud.
I do not.
Nope. All right. So you and Sriracha can bond while Paul and I bond over Xbox.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So this has been a surprisingly momentous couple of days, and not for necessarily good reasons for Xbox. Although there's some good news too. So, as you may recall, and Leah will recall this because we covered this live back at the end of July, Microsoft had a game showcase.
Oh yeah,
for the new Xboxes, and the first game they showed off was Halo Infinite, and we were underwhelmed.
Yeah,
by it looked what just we like saw.
Old Halo.
Yeah, and I keep using the same comparison. I apologize, but I likened it to the beginning of The Wind in the Willows, the Wizard of Oz, where obviously the beginning of the movie is black and white, and then when she goes to Oz, it kind of explodes in color. And it, you know, at the time, of course, it was amazing because color was still new to theaters. And I thought that's what they were going to do. I thought they were showing last generation graphics, and then all of a sudden, it was going to Wizard of Oz, and it was going to look awesome with ray tracing and, you know, beautiful graphics, and it never happened. And it ended, and you know, we were disappointed. It turns out the whole world was disappointed. So it didn't take very long, but within a couple of days or at least a week, they announced that Halo Infinite was delayed. It was not going to make the launch. It was originally supposed to launch alongside the consoles, the new consoles. There's a lot of ramifications of this. There's a lot of promotions, different companies like Taco Bell and Monster Drink and so forth.
You got to consider Halo tie-ins. The Taco Bell factor, yeah.
Well, I mean, but you know, these companies paid a lot of money to be part of this, and it's happening. So Halo never launched, and all these Halo promotions happened regardless. You know, it's embarrassing. That ad we showed at the top of the hour is an interesting example of something else that was already in the pipeline, obviously, and it still went with Halo, you know, and fair enough. I mean, it's, you know, one of their big game libraries, of course, but you have to think when they envisioned this originally, it was going to be accompanied by this new Halo game, and it would have made a lot more sense. The guy running 343 Industries, which is the game studio that Microsoft owns that runs Halo, left the company, you know, probably forced out, brought back a guy from Bungie, the original developers.
Well, that's
of Halo,
good, right?
To get things back on track. And here we are. So this week, yesterday, last night, Microsoft announced that Halo Infinite will now ship in November 2021. So
wow.
They originally said 2021, and November is in 2021 for sure. But I don't know how they showed a game in July that was supposed to ship in November. So it would have been finalized in probably August. How could it be that delayed? You know? A huge mismanagement. I mean, this is not as important necessarily, although I will point out that Microsoft is making a really big bet on video games right now, has bought a lot of studios, has this cloud computing push. It's not quite a lot on the same level, but I equate it almost to the Longhorn disaster, where this is something that should have happened on schedule. It was completely mismanaged. No one said anything until it was too late. And now you get a they'll ship something next year. I guess the good news is, with all the extra time, Halo Infinite should probably be pretty good. And graphically, it will definitely be improved from what we saw in July.
Sometimes it can be that there's a problem, you know, that something went wrong.
I think it might have been one of those bit off more than it can chew kind of things. You know, Halo Infinite is semi-unique in the Halo library games in that it is going to be available on multiple platforms. Previously, they just targeted one console version, right? This time it's going to run on Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S, and Windows PCs.
Right.
That could be part of it. You know, we can throw COVID in there. Everyone blames everything on COVID. It's
convenient. Perfect convenient excuse. Scapegoat. Yeah.
Is that. But I don't know. I think this was too many people not saying anything for too long, and it got to be a problem. And they've reshuffled things, so hopefully they'll figure it out. But too bad. Mm-hmm. So there's that. But on the flip side, Microsoft is celebrating what they're calling a record level of engagement on Xbox for this year. Obviously, that's due in large part to the same pandemic that they're blaming on Halo Infinite. I don't know what to say to this. I mean, it's just, you know, more people are playing more games now than, you know, they would normally. I think the interesting thing for Xbox as a business is that this should have been an off year, because they were on the last year of the old console gen, not quite shipping the new cloud thing, just about to launch a new console generation. Should have been an off year, but it's been like the best year ever in the history of Xbox. And they had a couple of statistics that I thought were kind of interesting for the new consoles. I don't know how to turn this into reality, but the way they describe it is 1.6 million seamless upgrades delivered to Xbox Series X and S owners using smart delivery. And what that means is you have a game, you have a certain console, you get the upgraded version automatically. So 1.6 million times that happened, apparently. And this is kind of interesting, because if you think back to, I think it was Phil Spencer said before the consoles launched, that his expectation was that Xbox Series X would dramatically outsell Xbox Series S in the beginning, because all of the enthusiasts would be going for the most powerful thing in the world. But that they expected over time that Xbox Series S would be the best-selling version during the lifetime of these consoles. And what they're saying now, and we're about a month in, is 40% of customers who joined Xbox for the first time, right, in 2020, it's kind of a scattered thing, are playing right now on Xbox Series S. 40%. So I don't know. I don't think that means 60% are on X, because some percent are would, of course, be using the old consoles. But that's a big chunk. So maybe S is doing better than they expected up front. And then blah, blah, blah. I don't know. The rest of this is not particularly interesting. But anyway, there's just some metrics about, you know, of success to kind of make you forget about Halo Infinite. But never forget, people. Hashtag never forget.
You know, it's funny, because the last time this happened, it was Duke Nukem Forever.
She's forever. Yeah, Duke Nukem Forever. Yeah.
And now it's Halo Infinite. Maybe don't put...
Yeah, right. Don't put words that are synonyms for forever.
Forever.
The title.
Kind of open-ended timing names in the title.
Yeah, that's a good advice. But it's also, even if you ship the game on time, the problem is you're going to have another game eventually. So like, what's the next? It's like you have an Xbox Infinite 360. One. So, yeah, what's the next one?
Infinite
the Xbox 720? What are we doing?
Yeah.
Xbox One. What's the next one? Xbox Two? No.
No.
I don't know.
No.
The other little bit of good news that was kind of buried in this story is we've known for some time that, of course, Microsoft is going to bring that cloud gaming service, which is part of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, to other endpoints. Like right now, it's only available on Android. And we've heard rumors about them putting it on iOS through a web app. And obviously, they're going to put it on the PC. Phil Spencer recently mentioned smart TVs. Of course, they're going to do all that stuff. But now they are explicitly promising that in spring 2021... Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, cloud gaming, which is part of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, will be available on Windows PCs through the Xbox app and the browser, and on iOS devices through a mobile web browser. So that will add billions of potential devices to the mix, which is great. So I think a lot of people would like to have that right now, but it's coming in the spring. So that's good. Yeah. Unlike Halo Infinite, which is terrible, hashtag never forget. All right, the other bit of good news is you may recall, I don't remember when they announced it, but sometime earlier this year they announced that they were going to be bringing ray tracing to Minecraft, which is kind of hilarious, because Minecraft is like this 8-bit graphic thing.
Yeah, but they'll be good.
It's awesome. Have you seen it?
No.
It's awesome. It looks beautiful.
Oh, I want to run
it. It's only on PCs. It has Windows 10. You have to have an RTX-enabled graphics card.
Yeah, that's the problem.
It is a problem. But if you have that, it looks amazing. Like, it is beautiful. And this one, too, has another little bit of kind of interesting, like an interesting side piece of news, which is that the according to the head of YouTube Gaming, Minecraft was the top-watched game on YouTube during all of 2020.
Watched. Yeah, I'm not surprised.
201 billion views.
What?
Wow. No.
That is double the figure from 2019.
But that's where every kid learns how to do stuff in Minecraft. You watch a YouTube video.
Yes. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I don't know. Like, sometimes I'll throw a baseball game on and do other stuff, and I guess these people are throwing on Minecraft.
You know what? I look at Michael, our 18-year-old, who is a Minecraft fanatic, among other things, but he's always got YouTube running in the background. Even when he's playing Minecraft,
He's got it running.
So here's what's fascinating about this to me. Everyone knows that Fortnite is,
look at this,
if not the biggest game in the world, one of the biggest.
Right.
Fortnite was only the fifth most watched game on YouTube this past year. 67 billion views, so less than a third of Minecraft. But the top five, none of them are even half as big as Minecraft. Roblox, which is actually kind of a Minecraft ripoff, 75 billion views. Garena Free Fire, I have no idea what that is, 72 billion views. And GTA 5, 70 billion views. Minecraft, 201.
That's amazing.
Well, I think that's, you know, that it doesn't surprise me because that's where you go if you want that information. Now Michael's going to want a $2,000 video card, isn't he?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
But you can't get anyway.
You know what? If you're going to get your Aeron chair, I'm just saying.
It's I'm not getting an Aeron chair. It's already been made clear. In fact,
sounds like Lisa's getting some jewelry. You're getting a chair and he's getting an Aeron chair.
No, I'm getting a hydraulic cylinder to replace the one that's broken.
Hydraulic
in my
cylinder.
Chair.
Yeah. There you go. It's in a parts box.
It's
enjoy.
Merry
parts
Christmas.
Pneumatic. I'm sorry. Pneumatic. It's pneumatic, not hydraulic. That means what? It's got air instead of oil in it. Is that right, John? Yeah. John's going to give it to me for Christmas. It's $11.
That's nice. Nice.
That's nice. No, he sent me a link. Yeah. I'm getting excited for Cyberpunk 2077, which comes out tomorrow.
Yeah.
Speaking of gaming, I wish I had a RTX 3090. Be nice. around.
I have very few computers that have even dedicated graphics of any kind, let alone something decent.
I know. I think I know. And you can't buy them. I mean, even though it's a $2,000 card,
it's too bad they couldn't stream this over the cloud, and then you could get ray tracing.
Well, believe it or not, I bought Cyberpunk on Stadia.
Oh, you did? Interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a kind of proof of concept. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting because I'll be able to play it on my Apple laptop through Chrome.
Right.
We'll see. I'll also be able to play it on the
I hope you get a nice wasabi-colored controller.
Is that your Stadia? Your Stadia controller? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I guess if you buy it, you get a free pro, you know, controller and Chromecast Ultra and a pro membership because you have to have a pro membership. So.
Yeah, supposedly the Chromecast Ultra is the best way to go on this thing. I've not tried it yet, but
I'll put it on my 4K TV, but it's not going to have ray tracing unless...
No. No.
Unless you have, you know, one of those ray tracing cards.
Right.
Even the RTX 3090, top of the line, Founders Edition NVIDIA card, can't quite hit 60 frames a second at 4K on Cyberpunk 2077.
Well, but you'll be able to do that in Minecraft.
Yeah, right. Which would be better, honestly. Yeah. Yeah, no, Spider-Man, you either have ray tracing or you have performance. You can't have both. So that'll be interesting. I'll let you know. I may not be back next week. I might be...
you'll be ray-tracing it up.
Me and Keanu will be hanging out in the world of the future.
Nice.
World of the future. All right. Is that it for the Xbox segment?
That's it.
Nothing more, huh? 201 billion views. When I hear stuff like that,
that's crazy.
It's incredible. There's only, 350 billion people in the world.
I watched at least a billion views of like Charlton Heston interviews on the Tonight Show this year.
Well, that's the thing about YouTube. You look at the, on the popular videos, I got to think that there's somewhere it's just running over and over and over again. You know?
Yep.
Somebody died and they left auto run on. Yeah. And
it still has like 75 viewers. Like they're just sitting there watching.
Yeah, just watching it. They're dead. Yeah. They're dead now, but they're really enjoying it.
Maybe they'll
come
back.
Maybe they'll come back. You never know. All right. We're going to go to the back of the book, the tips and the tricks and the beer and all of that stuff. But first, Windows Weekly brought to you by Bandwidth. Of course, it is brought to you by Bandwidth with a lowercase b, but I'm not talking about the internet connection to your house. I'm talking about Bandwidth, the CLEC. It's a carrier, a phone carrier. In fact, it's one of the best known all digital, all online phone carriers in the world. Google uses them. If you're using Microsoft Teams and you've thought, I would like to have SIP, E911, all of the features of a phone system through Teams, you should take a look at Bandwidth's Duet for Microsoft Teams. Software-powered SIP, dynamic E911, and industry-leading expertise to simplify your move. In fact, they've really thought about, from beginning to end, the migration process to make this as easy as possible. But let's start with 911, because that is a requirement. There are complicated 911 requirements for your, you know, your phones. You don't want your employees to have a heart attack, call 911, and the rescue squad goes to Detroit. You want them coming to your office. Microsoft Teams can have accurate 911 caller information with Bandwidth Duet for Teams. It complies with all those complicated E911 regulations. All your bases are covered. It captures precise location information and call time, and that's important. That's a requirement. Duet leverages dynamic location capabilities within Teams to identify a user's location at the time of the call and then natively routes 911 calls across Bandwidth's secure, geographically redundant, highly reliable nationwide network to both solve compliance concerns, but really to solve the ultimate issue, your employee safety. That should come first, right? And if your organization is considering direct routing, Bandwidth Duet for Microsoft Teams gives you greater control and value by helping you decouple your telephony from Teams. You get the advantage of working directly with a true cloud-native carrier. And you get things like failover control, call forwarding, real-time reroutes, all of it on the Microsoft Teams platform. It's also about 40% less expensive than Microsoft's calling plans. You know, one of the things about E911 that's tricky, there's, you know about Ray Baum's Act? It requires a dispatchable location, which is more than just the street address. It's the floor. It's the suite. It's little things like, they're so sharp about how to make this migration easy. They give you a number, 933, so you can test and verify that you're compliant, the location information that you're supposed to be there is there without actually calling 911 and burdening public safety with those calls. You get your own 933. You'll also have somebody who's a partner in this migration, not just a provider. You get a dedicated onboarding specialist to help you execute your project plan, a 24/7 knock. Expert support teams will accelerate your migration and be with you every step of the way. You're not on your own with this. And that's one of the nice things. Bandwidth has been doing this for years. They're real experts. You can do things like group your users into logical cohorts like location or department. That way you can schedule and trigger the port for these individual groups. You can also seamlessly roll back if you ever need to. Bandwidth provides the best support. They also are the easiest to work with. Their white glove customer support touts a 9.8 out of 10 customer satisfaction rating. They are, like no one else, positioned to help you migrate with less frustration and while meeting regulatory expectations. They're experts in that, too. So simplify your telecom migration. Solve for regulatory requirements with the one, the single cloud-native carrier, Bandwidth, and Bandwidth Duet for Microsoft Teams. You can find out more at bandwidth.com/WW. Bandwidth.com/WW. We thank Bandwidth so much for supporting Windows Weekly. Thank you for supporting Windows Weekly by using that address so they know you heard it here. Bandwidth.com/WW. Now time for the back of the book. Let's start with a tip of the week from Paul Thurrott.
I added this tip because I think we talked about this on the show a couple of weeks ago, that Facebook and Instagram have added these links in their toolbars for these video services that are kind of like TikTok, and then for some kind of a marketplace, which is, I guess, a store or something.
And I hold in my hands a court filing saying
yes.
That is exactly what they're talking about.
Maybe we'll fix this.
Yeah.
So I think it was on a show I complained about this. A reader listener on Twitter, Kelly D. Jones, said, hey, you can turn that off.
Oh,
nice. In Facebook, not in Instagram, unfortunately. I've checked. And the way you do this, and this is only in the mobile version. You can't do it on the web, unfortunately. Those links, there's nothing you can do about them. But on mobile, if you go to the menu and then settings, there's a shortcuts section and a shortcut bar link. And then there were four things in there. You could just turn off the things you don't want. And two of the items are Marketplace and Watch. Watch is the video one. I hate how these things have taken over these apps. And I am delighted that you can turn it off in Facebook. But I actually use Instagram more often, and I wish you could do the same there. But you cannot. So if that bothered you like it bothered me, there you go. And then this too, both, none of these things are related to Windows, unfortunately, but I just think these are kind of generally interesting and of use. The app pick is HBO Max, which is, I guess, this, maybe there's a Windows app, I don't know, but HBO Max is obviously an online streaming video service similar to Netflix and so on. It's kind of expensive, $14.95 or $99 a month compared to, you know, $10 to $15 for Netflix and $5 or $6 for Disney or whatever.
A lot of people already have it. If you have,
yeah, that's true. Actually, I think, yeah,
it was weird. I just saw the statistics. Only 30% of the people who are HBO subscribers and eligible for Max have signed up.
That's so crazy.
It's just so confusing, I think. People don't know.
I sign up for it from time to time just to kind of binge watch certain things. And I'm probably going to sign up for it on Christmas Eve and then keep it through the middle half of next year, because on Christmas Day, they will be showing that new Wonder Woman movie, Wonder Woman 1984, alongside the theatrical release, which is amazing.
Yep.
But even bigger than that is starting in 2021, every major theatrical release that Warner Brothers has, and there's a bunch of them, new Matrix movie, et cetera, the new Dune movie, are going to be launching simultaneously in theaters and on HBO Max. So if you don't want to go to the theater because you don't think it's safe or you can't.
Theaters, you're so happy about this, let me tell you.
Yeah, this is big.
They're devastated because they know it's going to be free on HBO Max. People are just going to watch it on HBO Max.
This is driven by necessity. And I also feel like, you know, look, if you've been alive for a while, like I have, and you're into movies, you know that back in the 70s or the early 80s, you know, a movie would come out and several years later, it would show up on HBO and Cinemax or whatever.
Yeah.
Several years after that, it would come to TV.
Yeah.
And then years after that, it would come to home video, whatever it was at the time. And those time frames have gone down and down and down. And I think the long-term effect of this is probably going to be that theater viewing will go down by necessity. I mean, not everyone, but so many people have big screens and home theater systems now. And of course, you know, the pandemic, just as it did for teams, is kind of going to make this happen more quickly. But there's going to be a lot of people that just don't want to go out. I don't like going to movies just because there are people there. Not pandemic related, but they're on their phones and they're doing whatever. I mean, I think it's nice to have this option. So we'll see if it sticks. We'll see if other studios do it. I bet they will.
Yeah, they will now. Sure.
Yeah. So
AMC was devastated. They said, no, you're going to kill us. Christopher Nolan said, a lot of movie makers went to
Nolan.
Bed. The guy who did Tenet and then Inception.
But Tenet was a disaster.
Batman.
Right, so.
Because nobody went to
Tenet,
see it. No, I know.
His movie proves why they're doing this.
Right. He said, a lot of us went to bed thinking we're working for the best movie company in the world. Woke up finding out we're actually working for the worst streaming company.
Anyway, sorry the reality of the pandemic has finally hit home for you, but this is what happens. Sorry.
Yeah, that's what AT&T's John
Stankey
said.
Warner Brothers did not want to do this.
No.
They didn't want to do this.
But remember, AT&T did it. That's who did it. A streaming company, an internet service provider did it. That's to be, you know, perfectly clear. They own Warner Brothers.
We all know this. A lot of the most high quality content, video content, is available now is not in a theater. It's on Netflix. It's on, you know.
That's what Stankey's point is. Is you're not competing against other movies in theaters. You're competing against Netflix. So
people,
this is the way it is.
For all our short attention spans these days. Long form content in the form of, you know, TV series that are multiple episodes that you binge watch over time are obviously humongous, but very high quality. And when you think about things like The Lord of the Rings or these big movies, they would be better off as series on HBO or Netflix or whatever.
But can they make their budget back? That's the question.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to find out, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's going to be better than if you can't hold on to these things forever. You know, eventually this James Bond movie that's never going to get released is going to be free in a box of Cracker Jacks or something. I don't know how they can distribute that.
No, it's a really interesting challenge. I mean, I think what AMC is saying or thinking is, well, the vaccine's coming by June. You even said that. I'll do this for 6 months. By June, we'll be able to go back to the theaters. But will there be any theaters left?
Well, by the way, when June comes, let's imagine everything goes great. June comes, the vaccine works, the COVID pandemic is over. The theaters are open again. I'm not going back to the theaters.
That's the problem.
I still don't want to be in a theater. So
exactly. So people are buying TVs.
And I think there's a big chunk
nice
of the population
setups.
That, yeah. The people who want to can go, and it's great. And by the way, there are good experiences to be had in theaters. You know, they have the type of theaters where they serve food and you have reclining chairs and stuff.
Yeah.
And
and
that will be there for those people that want that. But
I suspect most people will go to the movies two or three times a year. It'll be a special occasion. Yeah.
I go maybe once a year.
Yep.
Damn.
And, you know, it's because Pauly Shore doesn't make that many movies. But
I know. If he only would, it would all be so much better. Yeah. I don't know.
Come on, Pauly. Like a new Star Wars movie I would go, or a James Bond I might go.
And those are the big budget movies. So, maybe, you know. I think, in a way, if you look at the small budget art films, this is very good for them. Because they're going to reach more people more easily.
You mean like Dune?
No, I'm thinking more like Roma.
Which, by the way, is another example of something that would be way better off as a series.
Dune. Yeah. Why are you trying to get all of that into 2 hours?
You're going to make a 2 to 3 hour movie about this, magnum opus? I mean, come on.
Yeah. No, I agree 100%. And it's been tried, and many have failed on the...
Including the first Dune.
Yep.
Which was,
app pick. Oh, you, that was your app pick. HBO Max.
Yes, yep.
Get it?
Yep.
And you know, there are some, what's interesting, there've been some exclusive HBO Max things that don't show anywhere else that are pretty good. I've been watching.
Yeah.
And then there's a really bad thing. Do not watch The Flight Attendant. If you're a Big Bang Theory fan, you probably have theory of Kelly Cuoco.
Why do you say that?
Well, go ahead and watch it, then you tell me.
But why though?
It's like awful.
That was bad. Okay. I haven't seen it.
It really looks like all the episodes are between 42 and 45 minutes, which tells me that the original plan for this, by the way, Scooter X says it's awesome, so I don't know. Yeah. I hated the Big Bang
Theory. I don't know.
Theory
I haven't seen
too.
It.
So I think the original plan was to put this on network television. And so the show is arranged in such a way as to keep you watching through non-existent commercials. So that's part of the problem. They have to all have all these, you know, kind of cliffhangery things. It's also very disjointed. It's poorly written. It really feels like a network TV show where they have to have a resolution every 3 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. But good. She's terrible.
Oh, okay. That's too bad. I don't know anything about her. But maybe a lot of things are made with the understanding that, look, one day this thing will be on network TV. So we have to have these logical breaks where it would make sense.
It could well be. Suspect this is... this is a reject from network television that made its way to HBO Max. What? You know what? I'd be curious. It starts out pretty good. The first couple episodes, I was enjoying it.
Are there snakes on this plane, or is Liam Neeson on the plane?
There's no Samuel L. Jackson. There's there's a guy whose throat's been slit who shows up a lot.
For some reason.
There's a lot of weird stuff like that. I'm not crazy about it. But that just could just be.
So it was like my last JetBlue flight.
Exactly. and it's kind of depressing. Oh, well. She's drinking constantly. I mean, the novel, she's a drunk. But like, I don't want to watch Kelly Cuoco drink all the time, constantly. Yeah, she wakes up, she has a drink. It's like, eesh. Mm. Anyway, that's just me.
That's the only way to deal with customers these days.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
You know.
I've seen your Instagram. I know what you're up to.
Mm-hmm.
Enterprise pick of the week, Mary Jo Foley.
Right. Speaking of drinking. Oh, wait. No.
Yes. Let's do it.
You might need a drink if you're an IT admin and you've been trying to deploy your SSUs and your LCUs separately. What am I talking about? Good question. LCUs, latest cumulative update. SSUs are servicing stack updates. Up till now, if you're an admin and you're trying to figure out what order to roll out patches and do I need an SSU before the LCU, it's been a little confusing, and Microsoft knows this. So as of this week with Patch Tuesday, Microsoft delivered on something they've been talking about for a bit, which is admins have the option now of deploying LCU and SSU together as one thing. So you still could do it the old way. You can still do your SSU and then your LCU. Or if you're using Windows Server Update Services, WSUS, or you're in the Windows Insider program for businesses, you now have the option of deploying them together as one pack.
Woohoo!
I know. It may sound obscure, but I know many admins will be happy to have one less thing to have to think, I have to do the SSU, then I have to do the LCU. Now you can just do them together.
Yeah. It's no, that makes nice. Sense. Lisa has a term for that when they trickle stuff out. Bit by bit. I can't remember what she calls it. But yeah, you just give me the whole bunch at once.
Exactly. Yeah. Just give me it all at once and I can deploy it as a single thing on premises. And
she says they're piecemealing it to me. I don't want a piecemeal.
No.
I want the whole thing.
You want it together. You want them together. Yes, and now you can do it if you're a business.
No more piecemealing.
Exactly.
And a developer pick of the week.
Yeah, so this week, in addition to being the Government Leaders Summit at Microsoft, was also GitHub Universe. Which also was virtual.
It's and they like made GitHub a bunch Infinite. GitHub Infinite forever. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It'll be postponed. No, this was not postponed. And they had a bunch of announcements that people who are using GitHub might be interested in. So one is dark mode for GitHub is here.
Yeah.
Woo.
Woo.
They also announced that GitHub is now going to make available dependency review vulnerability alerts. That's a mouthful, which means if you are someone doing a pull request, it will prevent vulnerable code from being added to dependencies by accident. So that's something a lot of people probably would find interesting from a security standpoint. And then there's this one, which I think is also very interesting and very telling. They have a program called GitHub Sponsors, which lets companies actually pay for open source work happening.
Thank you.
Using PayPal or a credit card. Yeah. And so they are expanding that GitHub for Sponsors program. And finally, discussions are now available for public repositories. So they made a lot of nice incremental announcements meant to make people's day-to-day life on GitHub a lot better and easier.
Nice.
So there you go, developers.
You know what? I think Microsoft has turned out to be a good steward.
I know. I think they've done a lot of. I think they've surprised a lot of people in the community because they're doing things that the community is asking them to do. They're like, okay, you want this? Here you go.
Yep.
Let's do it.
Yep. Good. Good for them. It's still, you know, I thought maybe, in fact, at the time of the acquisition, there was a little bit of an exodus of open source projects. Everything's still
people.
On. It didn't last.
Come on.
It didn't last. Everybody's still on GitHub. Everybody.
Yeah. Everyone's like, no, I'm going to GitLab. Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Yeah. No, I'm not. All
right. Yeah, exactly. Now, speaking of drinking and cats, we've combined the two into a unique brew, Mary Jo Foley's Beer of the Week.
Right. I'm like, you know, we started the show with cats, so let's end the show with cats.
Oh, very authorly of you. Yes.
Very. Finback Brewing here in Queens has a beer called Cats Are People Too. The can, if you could pull up the can for this. The can art is awesome.
Kitty cat. Let's see. I don't see it. Just this one. Is it?
Maybe you have to scroll down a little bit to see it.
Oh, that's
so
cute.
So it's a cat with a little top hat looking angry. So this beer, Cats Are People Too, is a double IPA. As I said in my note, it's bitter and bold, just like cats themselves. Double dry hopped Citra, Cashmere, Mosaic, Nelson, and Belma hops. So all kinds of really good hops. People describe it as pineapple-y and mango-y, so lots of citrus flavors. But warning, 9%.
Ooh.
If you drink this double IPA and you sleep,
ooh,
cats will be on you. So be ready for this.
Oh, mama. Yeah. Cats are people too. Finback Brewery.
Yep.
I guess Untappd has a thing called Untappd at Home now.
They do. So if you're checking in, because no one's checking in at bars anymore, you can check in at home.
Right.
Yep.
I love that. That's a great label. Yep. It looks like an Edward Gorey drawing.
It does, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I like the little hat.
Yeah.
and her tail's going through a skull.
Don't let Lisa see that. That'll be the next hat.
Oh, it's good. Little top hat. Yeah.
A little like oddball hat from that James Bond movie.
Oddball. He wasn't oddball, but he was not called
oddball. Odd job.
Yeah. There you go. Cats are people, too. We all know that.
Sirachi, thank you for letting us have a Mary Jo for a few hours.
He went back to sleep. Yeah. He's back over there sleeping.
We were worried, but he
I was very
worried. Something at him so he wakes up. I do this to my cat. Sometimes I'll walk up and shake him, and I'm like, you know how it feels.
I can't believe it. Yeah, this morning, I got up. Lisa said, okay, when the cat comes to get petted, because at 4 in the morning, every morning, Paris comes to me, wake me up, and says, pat me. Pat me.
Right.
She says, please, could you do me a favor? Don't shove her into my face next time. I said, did I do that?
Yeah, you don't know what end is up.
Yeah, well, that was the problem, exactly.
So the problem, we lock our cats out of our bedroom when we sleep because our cats are like bowling balls with toothpick feet.
Yes.
So when they walk on you, it's like, and they love walking on you. You know?
They're really sharp, those little claws.
Yeah.
And that's when I push her away. I don't mind patting her. But as soon as she starts kneading me with those sharp claws, it's like, dude, I'm not your mother. Get out of here. But we can't lock them out because those bowling balls would be hurling themselves against the door.
We've trained them to
lock them in the basement.
Alone.
Lock them in the neighbor's house.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. That concludes this kitty cat edition of Windows Weekly. Mary Jo Foley writes about Microsoft at her ZDNet blog. It's easy to find, allaboutmicrosoft.com. All the time. She's always be filing. ABF, that's the new slogan.
I wonder if that domain is taken. Alwaysbefiling.com.
Thorat does the same thing. It's a hard life, that blogger life, at Thorat.com, Thurott.com. That blog isn't going to write itself, that's for sure. He also,
it's not like breaking rocks, but it's, it's
close. He also writes books. He's not enough of a masochist. Mm-hmm. He has to write books, too.
Exactly.
Oy. Yeah, his book.
Writers have well-documented problems, Leo.
His book is available at leanpub.com. It's the field guide for Windows 10, and it's a must-have if you have Windows 10. Every Wednesday, we join together to do Windows Weekly around 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1800 UTC. You can stop by. You can join us. I wish you would on the live stream, twit.tv/live. If you're doing that, chat room awaits, irc.twit.tv. That's where all the other people watching live are. You can watch on your own schedule at your convenience if you download a copy of the show. You'll find them all over the place. There's a Windows Weekly YouTube channel. There's you can also get it from our website, which is twit.tv/ww. You can also get it by subscribing in your favorite podcast application. You'd get it automatically, which is very cool. I encourage you to do that, and I will see you next week with a very special guest on the show. Microsoft's Chief Marketing Officer, Chris Cappicella, joins us for his annual.
Mm-hmm.
He answers tough questions. He's pretty good. He's very open about this. So we look forward to
this. This is great.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody. Have a wonderful week. Stay warm. The snow is falling in Lower Macungie Township and Upper Broadway. So
winter has begun.
Winter has begun.
Yep.
In the eastern port of the state. Thank you, guys. Have a great week. We'll see you next week on Windows Weekly. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, what's going on, everybody? I am Ant Pruitt, host at Twit TV. Got a question for you. Have you gotten tired of how bad your photos are looking every time you post them to Instagram? Better yet, have you gotten yourself a new camera and you can't quite figure out why the images just don't look that good? Well, I have a solution for you. It's my show, Hands On Photography. Each and every Thursday, I sit down to share different tips and tricks that are going to help make you a better photographer and a better post processor. So subscribe today at twit.tv/hop to learn more.